Jamil on the beat. What's good? What's good? What's good? Welcome to the podcast, the Correctly Mistaken Podcast. I'm your host, your boy Wes Osei. Please remember to subscribe, rate, review. I definitely appreciate you doing so. I appreciate the people that take the time to listen, because you could be doing anything else, listening to anyone else. But for you to take the time to spend with your boy, for that I am forever grateful. So to start off the pod today, I wanted to discuss the situation once again that has happened, where another unarmed black man by the name of Andrew Brown Jr. in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, his life was taken by police. And what really hit me was when I listened to the DA by the name of Andrew Womble, who is the DA of Elizabeth City in that area. And he came out with the announcement that no charges are going to be pressed against the officers. The body cam came out. If you see the body cam and you see the footage, once again, you can see why it was another example of excessive force of a man of color, a black man, because for some kind of reason, when it comes to people of our color, we tend to be a threat. And you know, the saying goes, is if my color is seen as a weapon, then every time you see me, I'm a threat. And it seems that seems to be the case. And it has come out that they're not going to press charges. And I'm going to let y'all take a listen to what Andrew Womble had to say on why they're not going to press charges. And we'll talk about it on the other side.
Okay, when you employ a car in a manner that puts officers' lives in danger, that is a threat. And I don't care what direction you're going, forward, backward, sideways. I don't care if you're stationary, and neither do our courts and our case law.
He said something to there. He said something in there to me that really showed the situation of just being a threat. He said a car, because what they're trying to say is that he used the car as a weapon. But if you see the video, you can clearly tell that even though the car was moving, he wasn't trying to hit the officers. Now, obviously, is it the smartest thing in the world when you have guns pointed at you to try to move a vehicle to elude and get away? No, because you can possibly hit somebody, and if you do so, that would give them reason. But as you can see the video, now he speaks about that somebody got clipped, an officer got clipped later on, I guess according to reports, when he was backing up, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, he was trying to drive away. He was trying to drive away. And when he said something to me that really, he said, your car is a weapon, no matter what you're doing, forward, backward. And then he said, even stationary. What? Like, how can you not hear that and not be outraged to hear even stationary? So if you don't know the definition of stationary, it pretty much means standing in place, standing in one area, not moving, in a stationary position. You're not going up, left, right, down, up, whatever. You're not doing anything. You're standing in one place. And according to Andrew Womble, the DA, he says if your car is stationary, and you're sitting in it as a black man, it is still a weapon. And I'm like, how are we not outraged by that? To hear a white DA, another black man who has been killed by police unlawfully, where all he was trying to do is elude and get away. And I, you know what? And I don't get that either. I don't understand. You hear the situations of people getting shot in the back or shot in the car. And why would anybody get shot when you're trying to elude police? How are you a threat when you're trying to run the other way? How am I? Only way I'm a threat to you is if I'm coming up to you physically trying to threaten you, trying to do bodily harm on you. If I come to you, I cannot do any bodily harm to you while I'm running the other fucking way. I can't do it. It's impossible. But for some kind of reason, even if we're stationary, even if we're stationary, we're considered as a threat. Now, yes, people want to say, Andrew Brown, well, just don't run from the police. Okay, so just running from the police means that you have to get killed. You have to lose your life because you're running from the police. What do police do? They put you in jail. Most people don't want to get put in jail. So if they see the police, they tend to run. I'm not saying if they did do something they had no business doing, okay. And if it's something that warrants a punishment, okay. Cool. But at the same time, where I'm running from you, how am I a threat? If you saw the tape in the car, the officers were around him. The way he even operated his car, he was trying to back out and get around them to go. Because if anybody in that moment was trying to bring bodily harm, try to hurt the officers, you would think instead of trying to back the car out, put it in reverse, put it in drive, turn the wheel to try to maneuver yourself out, you'll just run them smack over, right? If he's trying to do harm, right? But he probably figured, you know what? If I try to run away, maybe I have a chance, maybe not. But I'm going to try, but it's not going to end with me losing my life because there's no way they're going to shoot me when I'm driving away in my car just trying to get away from them, right? And unfortunately, Mr. Brown's thought process didn't work out. Unfortunately, that decision tended to be a tragic one, but it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. The only time police should, and we know this already, but it doesn't matter. The only time police should use deadly force is if it's coming on against them, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And if you listen to the DA, Andrew Wobble, or Womble, whatever his name is, I know I can't talk or pronounce nothing, but I think it's Womble, W-O-M-B-L-E. If you listen to him, it don't matter if the car is stationary. It's a weapon. How is a car just sitting there a weapon? We use cars every day. You see thousands of cars every day. I see thousands of cars every day. Now, have people used cars as weapons? Yes. But you can really see the distinction when somebody's using something as a weapon and when they're not. Like, I have butter knives, and I'm cleaning my, you know, I'm spreading mayonnaise or whatever the case on bread with a butter knife. But that's not a weapon then. Right? Now, if I turn that butter knife around and try to run at somebody with it, then that's a weapon. That's a threat. A knife can be something used to put mayonnaise on bread, and it can be used to harm somebody, but there's a different distinction to it. And officers need to understand and know that distinction. But for some kind of reason, I've always kept saying, why do the trained fear the untrained? These gentlemen had AKs, automatic, semi-automatic weapons, because they were executing the warrant. They were running to the guy's house. He was outnumbered. He was outgunned. He had nothing on him. They had the superior vantage point. They had the advantage. But for some kind of reason, if you have all those cops with auto semi-automatic guns and you got one black man in a car, that black man in a car is a threat to us. Especially if he's just trying to drive away. That's a threat. No. It's not a threat. It's a situation of saying, hey, look here, black man. If you just don't do what I say, I'm going to kill you. That's what that is. Look here. If you move, I'm going to kill you because I have the power to do so. Because if I do it, I'm going to have a DA. My DA is going to say some shit like that, which is going to have my back, which is going to say, look, it was a weapon. So guess what? I'm emboldened to do whatever the hell is that I want to do if you don't comply. Because when I do something that I ain't got no business doing, I'm going to have a DA that's going to come out and say, it don't even matter if your car is stationary. It's a weapon. Wow. Wow. And I really hope when people hear that, we just don't let that go out of one ear and out the other as if, oh, well. Because once it gets like that, and it gets second nature, and we get used to it, then there's no change that's going to come of it because we get comfortable. When you get comfortable in anything, you're really hard to make changes because you're comfortable. Even with a negative connotation, even with a negative thing, just because we're so used to it, instead of trying to figure out ways to fix it, we'll just figure out ways to try to work around it. And then working around it ends up just as bad because people still get killed. People still get murdered. You can't be on your porch without getting murdered, Stephon Clark. You can't be outside of a corner store, Eric Garner. You can't even buy some lemonade and some Skittles and walk down the street, Trayvon Martin. You're going to do an interview at a college for a possible professor, being a teacher, Sandra Bland. You're playing in a park, Tamir Rice. See, we can't allow these things to become as if it's second nature. Because if we do allow those things to become second nature, then it's almost we have a level of acceptance to it, where then now we try to figure out ways just to adapt to it. And we should never adapt to people being shot and killed, unarmed black people being shot and killed, just because, well, we just got to make sure we just do the things the right way. I mean, think about that. If we have that type of thinking, it's almost we're going back to times of Jim Crow, of slavery, where people then, black people who were the persecution, the opposition, the oppression, they had to literally think of what they can do to kind of avoid white folk, avoid any trouble, because not knowing what can happen from it, because it became so second nature. They just want to figure out ways to get around it to keep living life. But we can't do that. But at that time, that's all they can do. And but people kept talking, kept speaking truth to power. And that's what we have to do now. Because, yeah, you're going to have some people that's going to try to adapt and say, you know, we just got to adapt and do things better. No, no, no. We also need people that's going to say, you know what? No, no, no. That's uncalled for. That shouldn't happen. That isn't right. Everybody's innocent to proven guilty. Even when you're running up on Andrew Brown Jr. on warrants, whatever charges that you had him on, he's still innocent to proven guilty. That is an innocent man that's been charged, but proven innocent to guilty. Innocent to proven guilty. So you have to look at that as that's an innocent man that we're getting right now until all the details play out on whatever the charge it was. I have no idea what the charge was. But the fact of the matter is, innocent to proven guilty doesn't seem to matter, or it does not matter when it comes to black people or people of color. It seems to be a notion of because your skin looks different and it's darker, it's of a different complexion, you are a threat. And why is that? Why is that? Why do you see that so much? Because of the way this country has been constructed over hundreds of years from the beginning, where you had one race of people that dominated another race of people. Just because of the fact of the color of their skin, they were two-thirds of a man. They were savages. They were animals. And animals and savages have to be tamed. And if you can't tame them, they have to be killed. They have to be killed, murdered. Their life's taken. They don't deserve to live anyway. That's how we were looked at. That's how you see now up to 2021, a lot of those same thoughts and feelings are being personified by police. Because at one point in time, if you go back and you know the story about police, they were the first slave catchers. They were the ones that were told to go get the slaves that ran away and bring them back, sometimes by any means necessary. Those early searchers or hunters or whatever you want to call them, people that were making sure the slaves didn't run, or if they did run, they had to go get them and by any means necessary to bring them back, sometimes murder them, kill them. I can only imagine what they did to some or even most people that they caught. I can't, just the atrocities of it. Just because of the fact these people of another color of skin. So if you have it in your mind that you have to get people of this color because they're bad, and you come and that same line of thinking stretches over generations and it actually develops into what it is, the police force that we have today. But if you go all the way back to the chronology of it, or the, what is it? Y'all know what I mean. The timeline. Y'all know I can't talk. But you go back to the timeline, you go and you can see clearly where police came from and what their main objective was to do and what their only job was to do at one point in time. It wasn't to police the law and protect and serve. It was to round up black folk, the slaves, bring them back, put them back into bondage, control them by any means necessary, because they're animals, they're savages. And if that way of thinking is being connected all the way today, that's what we're dealing with. As if officers are going out here trying to round up slaves any means necessary, any way they got to do so. Even sometimes feeling as if they didn't want to bring them in, they hoping they do something so they can take them out. As the district attorney said, he used his car as a weapon, even if it was stationary. even if it's stationary, it don't matter. Man, what can we do? How do we live? And me as a black man, that's one of my fears every day, is to make sure I don't come hand in hand with police in a situation where it's a life or death situation. You know, I do DoorDash and I go to people's houses and I deliver. And I always think, and I'm in these nice neighborhoods as a black man being 6'1", 240 pounds, I gotta think in my head, what can I not do? Or what can I do in this situation when I'm delivering, when I'm going to people's houses and people are saying stuff like, "Hey man, come to my garage." And I'm like, "Nah, I ain't doing none of that." But why do we have to think that way? In 2021, why me as a black man, why other black men and other black women have to think how to control themselves or how to make sure they don't put themselves in a situation where they have to deal with police because they don't know what the objective or the outcome is going to be from that experience? What do we do? Stationary. He said stationary. If your car is stationary, meaning if it's standing still because you're black and you're in it, you're a threat. So I have to, as a black man, have to figure out to make sure I'm not being perceived as a threat in any which way when it's really hard to do because I can't go to the shower and scrub this black off. I can't do it. Can't. And I don't want to do it because I'm damn proud of being a black man. And that's why we need people to continue to push and to speak truth to power. And I know we and stay with the main course, what it is, the main thing to combat this. Because it isn't right. It isn't right. It's been wrong for a long fucking time. And once again, over and over and over. And even with the George Floyd case, yeah, he got his. It's just because it was taped. Not by body cam, but by people. Too many witnesses. It's almost as if it was an open shut door case, but why do we need it to be that plain as day? Why does it have to be something that has to happen where, oh, that's obvious? What about a situation when cops just make bad decisions? Why? Is it just obvious they had to shoot Andrew Brown Jr.? Well, he was in a car. And I guess on their thinking, he's in the car, it's stationary, he's a weapon. It's obvious we have to shoot him. What? It was that obvious? No. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at the tape, if you see the footage, if you look at it, you can tell what the man was trying to do, obviously. He was trying to get away. Yes, people can say, "Well, don't run from the police then." Okay, so running gets you killed. That's what you're telling me? So if I run, running, I should be shot dead because I ran. Really? Really? Keep the fight, man. This bullshit keeps happening. And it's so infuriating as a black man. And I know what's so infuriating is black people. Not even though our white counterparts share some of that rage as well. I know. We got to find more white counterparts that have more positions where they're going to outspeak this and speak against this and not worry about the ramifications of what it means for them, maybe financially or reputation-wise. But the thing is, those things matter too much to people. Instead of what's right. Until we get to that point, until next time, love everybody, hate no one. This is the Correctly Mistaken Podcast, and I'm your host, your boy Wes Osei. Be blessed, stay strong, peace.